Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The Frontline special, Children of Syria, premieres tonight on South Dakota Public Broadcasting Television. Filmmaker Marcel Metalzifan followed a Syrian family for several years to document their journey from war-ravaged Aleppo to their new home in a village in Germany. He joins us now from London. Marcel Metalzifan, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Now, in this film, you filmed it, you directed it, you produced it. Is this a solo operation? Is it just you and a camera, or do you have a crew with you?
In Syria, I've been pretty much a one-man team. Due to safety reasons and being actually, trying to have the most intimate access to family, I just decided to be me, myself, and my translator, actually, who was the same person as Fixer, who was kind of organizing things for me. But we were pretty much a one, two-man team, max. And in Germany, I would have one sound guy with me. So it was a very small team, indeed.
And how did you gain access to the city in Syria, Aleppo, and to the family that you followed?
I've been covering Syria from the very first beginning, from early 2011, and I was able to work and go back in over 24 times. Mm-hmm. So I knew, I've been around in Syria, and I decided to do a film about through the eyes of children, and I was looking for characters. I knew the father, Abu Ali, and I knew where he was based, in which part of the city, and I went there and I asked him if he knows about children who are in this area, in this part of the front line, and he said, the only children who are here are my own children. And he introduced me to his children, and the second I met little Sarah, his youngest child, and then the others, I knew I'm with the right characters, and they're the most brilliant and an extraordinary family I ever could imagine.
And these children, just, you know, folks haven't seen it yet. They're there for a reason. They're there because it's a love story of this family who is so devoted to each other and to their father that they don't want to leave him behind. Talk a little bit about this family's relationship with their dad.
Exactly. This was, I think, one of the most difficult decisions the family, the father and the mother, had to take. Once the father decided that he can't just continue living like this and that he has to stand up against a criminal regime, he said, okay, I will and I might need to risk everything and the most precious thing I have, means my children, for the sake of his country. It was the family, the children, who said, if my father stays, we want to stay, because we want to be united. If we live, we live. If we die, we die together. And unfortunately, it had been the father who risked everything when the Islamists hijacked their revolution. They took him and they kidnapped him, and it was the father who disappeared. And the mother had to take another decision to leave the country and to seek refuge somewhere in Europe.
So these become children who not only love their father, but who love their country very much. And when they're getting ready to leave, one of the girls says, please forgive us, Syria, just for leaving you behind. It's a tragic moment when they have to say farewell, even though, you know, from the outside, it seems like they're leaving behind a pretty dangerous situation. But the danger isn't over for them, is it?
Exactly. And I think, this moment of them leaving their city, leaving their country, leaving everything behind, especially a family who, as I said, risked everything for the country and then had to understand and to realize that there's nothing left to fight for. The country, the revolution they started, the moderate revolution, has vanished, disappeared, been killed by their extremists, and that they have to leave. They are forced to leave, otherwise they would get killed either by the regime or by the extremists. And this was the most difficult part to understand and to accept for this family.
What's your approach as a filmmaker to storytelling using video. You looked at the war through a child's eyes, so that's one approach. But what other approaches do you have in visually telling this story?
Well, I think it's very much due to the fact that I found this extraordinary family that I was able to do an intimate story of not only a Muslim family, which is already very difficult. It is a female-dominated Muslim family, something which is very difficult to access. So I thought I'm very privileged to be there in this very, very sensitive, intimate moment of seeing the development of a teenage girl like Helen, who was in the beginning the one who was taking care for the education of her siblings, and then came into an age in Germany, into a world where girls are much, much more free, and which way she started to go. So it was for me as a filmmaker, a tremendous opportunity to be there and to just let the story evolve in front of your camera.
What was your relationship with the father, with Abu Ali?
Unfortunately, I just been working with her, filming him the first part of the film, 2013, been filmed all in all in 4 days because it became so dangerous for me to be kidnapped as well, that I had to leave after 4 days of filming. And so many times I wished I would have been able to spend more time with this person because he was just such an extraordinary man. Mm-hmm. And throughout the film, he became much more like a symbol of the loss of a family member and of the loss of a nation.
And he has very little to fight the resistance with. When you look at what they're doing from a military strategic operation, there's not much there.
Say again, sorry?
There's very little. As from a military strategic operation, they're not heavily armed. I mean, they're armed, but they don't have a lot to fight with, do they, from the very beginning?
Yes, and this is exactly the problem of the moderate, so-called moderate Free Syrian Army, or the parts who are still remaining, that they have been not able to they've never been supported, and that's why the others took over.
There are so many different moments that are sort of emotionally heart-stopping. One of them is when the children are in another house and one of the small ones finds some toys that she'd like to take back because they're very beautiful. They've been abandoned. She fills up a little bag and her sister says, "No, that's wrong. You can't steal." And she has a sort of 4-year-old typical temper tantrum about not getting what she wants, and looks at some library books or some books and says, "Well, didn't we take these?" And they show her, "No, these are from the library. We didn't steal these. We borrowed these from the library, and that's okay." How did they maintain their integrity, their honesty, their bonds as a family? Because that's clear that that's what they're doing. They're living with ethics in this place that is completely destroyed and is in rubble.
Oh, definitely. And I think this was due to the strong character of the mother, who was very aware about the need in living in a chaos, living in a country which flipped upside down without rules, that it's about her to keep on lifting up the values which are important. And I think through Helen, who was very mature, being 11 years old, to carry on doing this for her siblings. And there, actually, exactly this sequence where the kids are discovering their abandoned houses as their playground, incorporating this absurd environment and transforming it in their kind of child's kind of world, is a proof that children are able to adapt in a way, and the consequences of traumas will perhaps come out later, but a child in the end is able to become and to stay a child wherever it is.
Did they ask you questions about Germany when they were getting ready to go? I know there's a lot of magical thinking with the kids. You know, they say in Germany there's no bombs, there's no airplanes, only pink ones, you know, something non-threatening. Were they looking to you for any information about where they might be heading next?
Yeah, they've been afraid. They thought obviously they heard a lot about Germany, but they never been out of the country before. They never left Syria. They never left their kind of neighborhood for a long time. So it was a huge adventure, and they've been nervous. But after staying for a while in Turkey, waiting for the visas, they were very much happy to leave Turkey because they've been one out of a million. And once they arrived in their little beautiful village in Goslar, I think they just realized that they're very, very happy and lucky.
Did you experience all the emotions as a filmmaker that I experienced as a viewer? Their kids are playing in the ocean and there's a joy and I'm laughing with them. And, you know, then the mother is talking about her coffee ritual with her husband and I'm crying. Did you as a filmmaker experience those kind of emotional moments, or do you just look through the camera and try to compartmentalize that?
Well, I think this was the most difficult part as a filmmaker, and to kind of separate my role as a filmmaker or actually as a fifth family member. I've been kind of sharing a lot of very intensive and very emotional moments without the camera, because I just thought it's awkward now to take the camera out, and I needed to just find the right mixture of when it's right to film and when it's better not, and to keep them as well open and willing to give me the access over such a huge long period of 3 years. And watching now my film on a big screen a couple of weeks ago, the first time on a big screen, I think I haven't been touched for so many years in my career so strongly, watching this moment all compressed into a film. And it was, even for me, who I did it, actually quite emotional.
It's a beautiful film as well. You find lots of beauty even in places that's quite unexpected. Is that just part of your vision of the world, to see what is beautiful there?
Well, I think this is the challenge, and it's perhaps, yeah. It's, thank you for reviewing it like this. And for me, the most important message I would like to have, being Germany is facing a huge and tremendous challenge by having over 500,000 refugees coming into a country and needing to adapt and to be integrated. The only thing what I want to say to people like this family, they would never ever have left the country if they would have had a future in their own country. They did not this do by choice. They've been forced to, and it was the family's wish, and I think very fair, hope that to have another and a better future for their own children. And this is what I wanted to show the people in Germany and the rest of the world.
Marcel Metalzifan, thank you so much for joining us from London today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Frontline Children of Syria premieres tonight on South Dakota Public Broadcasting TV. That's at 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Mountain. That was Marcel Metalzifan, filmmaker, producer, writer of the program.